Hi, I'm Gio Puyat, and this is Kwentong Creatives, a podcast to get to know the stories, strategies, and lessons of Filipino creatives from different fields. Kwentong Creatives is produced by Anima Podcasts. All right, welcome to another episode of Kwentong Creatives, and for this episode, we are coming off fresh from Cinemalaya Week. If you guys follow the page, you'll see that we went there, we talked to a lot of young filmmakers, a lot of people who work in the film industry, and there's just this infectious creative energy that I wanted to bring back on the pod. But I realized that not everyone here, not everyone in the audience are filmmakers or fans of cinema, but I really just wanted to highlight the experience of a Filipino creative making something in this independent film festival. So for this episode, it's going to be cut up into two parts. The first will feature our first-time filmmakers, Jopie Arnaldo and Kevin Mayuga. So first time nila gumawa ng feature-length film. And I just think that their experience is very relatable. So kahit hindi ka filmmaker, kahit hindi ka super fan ng local cinema, kahit may hindi ka lang sa mga mainstream or K-drama, it doesn't matter. It's just like their experience as people who had day jobs and who had to, you know, tinayaan nila basically yung oras nila, yung pera nila, in order to make something that mattered to them, something meaningful. So very general ang usapan namin this episode. I didn't want to be too alienating for people who haven't seen their films. But that said, the second episode, which will also come out later this week, is more of a Q&A on the specifics about their film. So if you did see Gitling, if you did see When This Is All Over, which starred Juan Carlos, by the way, who was a previous guest on the podcast, so you get to see him act in that film. And actually, if you haven't seen any of their films, meron pa silang mga pahabol na screening, no? So just follow their pages to see where you can watch. You can watch in most Ayala cinemas. And listen to the next episode. So the next episode, I sourced some questions from people and other Cinemalaya fans who've watched their films and wanted to ask specific questions about the making of Gitling and When This Is All Over. So that's gonna come out later this week. But for now, I hope you enjoy this episode with Jopie Arnaldo and Kevin Mayuga. Welcome to a new episode of Kwentong Creatives, and today we have our Cinemalaya episode. We just came from Cinemalaya. We interviewed some audience members, some filmmakers, some actors, and it was a good time. Like, we had a blast. So I think this week we're going to be doing some content for Cinemalaya with the filmmakers, really getting deep into it. And today we are joined by two filmmakers who wrote and directed their feature films. We have Jopie Arnaldo, director of Gitling, and Kevin Mayuga, director of When This Is All Over. What's up, guys? Welcome.
Hello. Hey.
Welcome to the podcast. Finally, nag-uusap na tayo.
Yes. You know what? Can I just say before we start, the caliber of creatives you bring to the podcast is just like so up there. And I'm like, when this was happening, I was like, what am I doing here? I'm just a big fan because ever since your first episode, so it's kind of crazy now being part of this recording. So I'm super happy, excited.
Damn, dude, Kev, thanks so much, man. Thank you. I'm just excited to talk to you guys today. I mean, I saw both of your films and sobrang natuwa ako. And yeah, I think today we have so much to unpack. I have my own questions, but we also actually sourced a lot of audience questions.
Oh, a lot of people asked.
Yeah, I have a bunch here, so I'll try to make time for that. I won't get too greedy with my own curiosity. But siguro let's start off muna with where you guys are right now. So Cinemalaya was last week. We just had the awards night on Sunday. How are you guys feeling, man? Like, what's the state of mind right now?
Exhausted. Tired. I got home yesterday and just slept on the floor of the living room. Exhausted. Grateful of everything, the experience. It was a whole trip just meeting all these new people, strangers from the film industry community as well, or just random humans who seem to enjoy the film. It was really fun. And running around, making sure like all the screenings were as good as could be, or not the talk back. trying to catch the films of our friends, kung kaya, even amidst everything. It was really good. And it always hits different when you see the reaction of people to something you've been working on forever, for like 2 years, at least in my part. And the reaction was just seeing people enjoy it or take something away from it is really, really cool. So that's where I'm at. Grateful and tired of shit.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Super grateful and tired as shit. But because we thought, you know, like we're already in this whole 1 year plus of making a film. We thought Cinemalaya would be the finish line. When it's screen na, gala na, you're done. Yay, we can relax now. But no, the festival was actually, there's so much things happening. You want to catch your own screenings and make sure it goes well. You want to catch your friend's screenings and then be able to watch and support. And then there's talkbacks and things like that, which sounds fun. But at that moment, parang wow, pagod na tayo lahat, guys. But I mean, overall, the whole week, I feel like, you know, super core memory is, of course, Cinemalaya experience for everybody. It was super fun, but I just want to play Zelda. I just want to rest.
Download and Overwatch.
Yeah.
Kakaiba din, you know, like what you said was, like you're there as a filmmaker and also as a fan of filmmaking, right? And even when we were going around, I was asking other people, like, what is different about this experience? And syempre, coming from the pandemic, you know, but we had like, you know, at a time that we weren't able to get together and watch each other's films. Yeah, and I asked everyone outside cinemas, like, what is different for like a Cinemalaya story with you guys? And I guess if babato ko din sa inyo yun, parang with the films you got to see that week, ano bang, what is unique from, you know, other kinds of cinema?
Cinemalaya versus everything else. Wow. Well, for me, Cinemalaya has always been the place to discover new voices and new talent. Ang ganda nga ng sinabi ng isang jury member sa akin, and there are no bad films this year. Like, everything's enjoyable. There's a film for every kind of cinema goer's taste. And to me, when do you ever get that here, diba? So.
Same. Mostly, I know it's not just first-time filmmakers naman who make it and stuff, but it's just a nice place for people to unleash themselves, tell the stories that normally would be a bit harder to produce or people wouldn't like bank on if I pitch my film before to a random people or when we did start pitching it. It was hard to make, and at least Cinemalaya allows you the opportunity, you and other filmmakers, to tell the stories that probably would have a really tough time being made. Especially if you're a first-time filmmaker. So that's the edge that you get from it. And there's still a certain prestige among, oh, it's a Cinemalaya film. So the people are more curious to check it out, kahit it's not usually the thing that they would watch.
Actually, maybe before we get further into it, can I just ask you if you guys can summarize your films for the people who haven't seen it? Like without spoiling it, you guys can just like maybe give us a quick synopsis of what your films are about?
So yeah, I can go first for this one. Gitling is about a Filipina interpreter / translator and a Japanese filmmaker who kind of befriend each other as they make Filipino subtitles for his Japanese film's premiere in Bacolod. So a lot of moody getting to know each other stuff. And I guess really just a film about understanding and finding it in the most unlikeliest of places, even with the barrier of language.
For When This Is All Over is about this disconnected outsider who makes a deal with some privileged misfits to throw a secret party in the middle of the pandemic in their condo in exchange for him to escape the country or his reality.
Parang praktisado na kayong dalawa.
We had to, man.
Yeah, question.
Have you ever talked about your work so much in a week?
Yeah.
Not just that, even before when we were pitching, we have a pitch deck.
Uh-huh.
Memorize every slide and every word in it, the amount of time I had to pitch it to people.
Nagsawa na kami sa sayo, I mean, log line.
Oh my God. Sige, let's jump off from that. I mean, that's interesting because when people think filmmakers, they think action, rolling, ganyan, shoot na kayo, ganyan, you're on set. How much of, you know, pitching did you have to I know because you guys come from an advertising background, right? But yeah, can you talk to us about that, like the presenting and telling your ideas to other people?
I feel like especially with pitching and finding funding, finding your production partners, it's so important. we did so much pitching. I think we had months of trying to figure out who is willing to give us money. You know, because you're pitching for people to be part of the project. You're pitching to actors. You're pitching to your staff. Now, this is the story. Let's do it. Let's have a good time. Can you give us money? Can you give us your time? Can you give us your talents or your thoughts of it? And in a way, parang it keeps getting developed. Even now, I feel like even towards the Cinemalaya Festival, I feel like we're still pitching the story to people to watch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a lot of that. And I think it's a valuable skill then just to have that presentation skill going on.
Yeah. Thank God for an advertising background helped me prepare for pitching over years because it's a long, soul-sucking journey. So, again, I'm a first-time filmmaker with no really big film connections, pitching a Japanese-Filipino film set in Bacolod that has no big-name stars, just really, really good actors and great crew and everything. But even amidst all of that, it's still a risk for people, and I understand that. And we pitched literally everyone that we could. And it still ended up becoming friends, families, and random strangers who gave us. We had backing of UXS, GoMotion, Mavex helped us a bit, but it was still more of the random friends and families who helped fund this film talaga. Yeah. Like, I remember it was 2 days before flying off for day one, and we still needed a lot of money. And if we couldn't get it at 5 p.m., we were going to go from an 8-day shoot to a 5-day shoot. Thankfully, we got it. I don't know how the hell we got it. We're crying at around 4:30 p.m., but it was hard. But it was worth it.
Yeah, it got to the point, I think, now we weren't pitching the film. Now we were just pitching ourselves as first-time filmmakers. I think that's why a lot of random friends and family supported us. And, you know, even if they don't know anything about the story, it's really us putting ourselves out there. Hey, I want to make this thing. I'll be want to be part of it.
Yeah. You guys came from advertising. And you did a short film then before that went to Cinemalaya. Maybe we can each talk about your own backgrounds. I'm curious kasi about like the context that you came from before going into all this craziness. Parang what did you guys do for a living and how did you manage to like fit a feature film into that all that?
Right now, I'm a creative director in advertising. It was supposed to be a 6-month stint because I wanted to direct after college. Tapos hindi na umalis. It was useful though because it taught me how to pitch and present to people. And the whole, my favorite learning from it is the discipline. So I have to write every day an ad. So I learned how to write every day, 5 pages a day for script, because that's something like I read Kurosawa said, if you write 5 pages a day for 30 days, you'll have a 90-page script eventually. So that discipline. And also the being cool with rejection. That is part of the day job, so I'm slightly better at it with the film stuff also. That's my day job.
Advertising probably brought a lot of rejection.
Yeah, a lot. Every day, just before coming here, they're rejecting ginawa namin. You know what? It's fine. That's just life. And that was super helpful also for this, because if you want to make a film, you have to be resilient as shit.
Wait, so when you say you would write every day, was that something you would write non-advertising work every day?
When I was developing this particular script, before sleeping at around 11 p.m., 12 midnight, 3 to 5 pages a day at least, even if the shittiest pages of all, you just have to finish the script and rewrite again, do it again and again. That's good. The discipline to do that was the one thing at least I could take away from advertising.
Yeah, I also used to work in advertising. Oh, sorry. I also used to work in advertising. Right after college, I went to work in an ad agency as a copywriter. And then I would go to these TV shoots and watch directors and think, oh, maybe that's what I want to do. Parang I just like music videos, diba? And commercials. And then after a while, I decided to go try to jump into it, like freelance, videography, directing, stuff like that. Eventually, I ended up working in Globe Studios. And then now I'm working with This Side Up. Actually, it was funny because when I left the agency, Jopie was the one who took my place.
I reached him for a week.
Yeah. he replaced me as the copywriter. Parang nung college pa, nung ano.
Yeah. I was like, taking your slot here in DJs.
Yeah, so I think that's the reason why also we got to find that similarity. Now we were sort of in the same background, and it helped a lot when we were encouraging each other to write. I suck at writing. He was like writing 5 pages a day.
Let's go like way back, pa. Like when, because I knew Jopie in college. I'm ka talagang film buff ka na nun. But for both of you, like when did you become fans of movies, of film?
Mine was super specific. I wanted to write comics. There was a comic writer I really loved, Brian K. Vaughan, who made The Runaways, Ex Machina, a lot of other great saga. And apparently he took screenwriting in NYU. When I got to college, I was like, I should learn film stuff so I know how to write comics.
Make comics, oh, okay.
And then I entered the film org, and kind of learned about film there. And then apparently you can make a film where people are just talking, which I really like. And then I started learning, studying, watching as much pretentious things as I could watch, and loving it all, and went downhill from there.
Yeah, wow. You know, I never had a dream of this is what I want to be when I grow up. Like, I'm going to be a filmmaker, like some people who I look up to. They like that. I just remember as a kid, I was watching all these films on VHS. We had like Zoolander or The Matrix. Napaulit-ulit. And coming into high school, college, I was just interested in audiovisual stuff. So I actually really liked music videos. And you know, even going towards commercials and eventually thinking, you know what, why don't we try telling a story instead of trying to sell something? But that's a different thing that I might enjoy. And then, you know, I ended up making a film. It's kind of weird, not hearing other people thinking, saying that it's always been my dream to be a filmmaker and you're making films. I'm so happy for you, but parang I'm here and it feels like a dream in a sense that what the fuck am I doing? is this real? Like, and then,
yeah, kakaiba. I find that so interesting. Like, everyone's, you know, journeys into what they're doing now. Ako din naman, like, so I work in advertising too, diba? And parang I just wanted to make my classmates laugh. I remember, like, kapag high school project, ako yung mag-shoot, and then like we just do some stupid shit just to make the class laugh. And then somehow, parang we just ended up here with our own, diba? Our own ways. I think I kind of wanted to circle back to like making it work while you're doing your day job. Because I think a lot of the audience members, you know, parang either my dreams are filmmaking, or they're curious to tell a story, or they're a fan of something, but they're not sure if they can do it themselves, diba? Can you, like what Jopie was saying, like, Jopie, you did it through like a habit, right? Write 5 every day, but that's still not actually, you know, like making the film or making that jump, no? Parang, I guess, what kind of advice could you give for people who are like on the cusp of like, you know, making shit happen?
It's gonna be hard and horrible and you're gonna sacrifice a lot. Sleep, mostly. And you're gonna need, which is going to be hard sometimes, an understanding work environment. I'm lucky because my ECD made a film for Cinema One many, 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 many years ago. He knows what it's like. So he was understanding when I would take a leave or when I would ask for, like, hey, can I take a half day because my meeting, my post kami or something. You get it.
Wait, so this is your boss and in work?
At work. My ECD now, his name is Roman Olivares, had a Cinema One original called Upcat, like, tagal na. So gets it. Gets there. And then even the people working under me, my team, I'd explain to them sometimes na parang I'll be hard to catch, so I'll reply a bit later and I apologize and try to make it work with all of them. You'll need an understanding work environment. That super helps. But no matter what, you just have to prepare that it's gonna suck and you're gonna sacrifice a lot of things. But if you really wanna do it, it's possible. I know a lot of people say, oh, I have a day job, I can't do it. You can, you always can. You just have to make sacrifices, which is not an inspiring thing to say, but it's the truth. If you really want it, you gotta go for it lang talaga.
You okay?
I'm a really bad procrastinator. I mean, I'm really good at it and I hate it. You know, I end up procrastinating. So I had to figure out how to use that to my advantage. So deadlines, as in submission deadlines of films, when there are calls for entries for a script or like anything, use that to your advantage to make something. At least in my process of procrastination, that kind of worked. No, parang okay, this is, I have to make something by this festival submission date, mm-hmm. and that was my whole challenge. But I mean, in general, I think being what our film teacher Quark always says: if you want to be a filmmaker, just be a filmmaker. Na parang it sounds so dumb, but also so simple at the same mm-hmm. time. If you want to go make films, just go make a film. And to me, that means you're going to figure it out yourself, whatever it means to make a film for you.
Yeah, I think like touching upon what you said too about, you know, the people who are you're surrounded with, so work environment mo din. And when you want to become a filmmaker, parang you're also inspired by the people around you. Can you guys talk about close collaborators and how, you know, that played a part in your own journey?
For this film, I feel like I wouldn't have been able to make it at all without my collaborators. Parang me as a creative before being this filmmaker, I always wanted to do things my way or to figure it out my way, or and I never thought na I could actually collaborate with other people because I'd have to explain everything, you had to figure it out and teamwork. Then I realized collaborating is just like a group project and you're all just having fun and you're all just given a space to play and you just make your choices together and you just do your best to make a vision come to life. So for me, the collaborators that I worked with, like my EP, si Jan Pineda, and then of course on the set itself, it's si Martika, the DOP, Chad, the assistant director, and Kay, the production designer. We were all figuring things out. And parang I felt like as a director, if we just give this atmosphere of playfulness or the space to play for everybody's best ideas just start to come out naturally and everybody just works and flows together so well. And it's not just like creative thinking, it's also problem solving of finishing sequences, how to get over this story. And even when we got the post, I'm always asking my editor, C. Stella, like, what do you think of this? What about we move this around? It's so much more fun when you treat the people you work with as collaborators rather than machines or like tool men. You get it? Parang they have so much more to give to you. And I feel like that's what sort of filmmaking has become meant for me. Na parang it's just collection of creatives coming together to do something fun. At least for me, it's fun.
Yeah, no, I see that in your film, man. It's I had a good time watching it, and I think that says something about the people who made it. It's like you guys all had a good time making that film. Ikaw, Joby, yeah, what was collaboration like for you?
My producer, si Casey, she was my accounts in advertising and then so years and years ago, and I remember distinctly we were in a Tanduay shoot by riverbanks habang during a storm. Kami sa tent. I was the copywriter, she was the accounts, and we said, hey, let's make a film one time in the future. And years and years later, when I was applying for Cinemalaya, I told myself, for this one, I want it to be fun. I want to make it with a friend. And I remember Casey, you know, promised. I was like, why not? So I asked her, and she wasn't even sure at first, but then she eventually said yes, and thank God she did, because I was able to meet all our collaborators through Casey. Or Mike Michael, or DOP, Burn, or AD, si Anna Lou, PD, si ATU, in production manager / location, sorry, our location manager, all the department heads and stuff. I got through Casey, and collaborating with him was so much fun. And also, the set was chill and great, even though we encountered problems like ghosts and bad news. and
what
and
a
stuff.
Sentence, like ghosts.
Ghosts.
And not a joke.
So, inapprove ng ghosts yung mga shot mo, ganun.
One started freaking out with our lights when we took, we call that a safety. It's not a joke. Flicker na yung ibang lights when we called for a safety shot.
Alis ka na daw.
Pinapalis
ka na
daw. Pack up na direct, sabi ng ghost. Ayan.
So, for me, I couldn't have even started collaborating with all these wonderful, awesome people if it weren't for a work contact, someone I worked with
before. So it was great. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, let's get to Cinemalaya. For anyone who's curious, they have a film, maybe they're in the same position as you guys. Like they have some contacts, they have people they want to collaborate with, they have a story they want to tell, and they're looking at joining one of the festivals. What was that experience for you guys? Now, from the start, from the pitching to the actually making and promoting the film. We can take it by maybe like from the very start. Then, okay. Okay. Yeah, submitting.
Oh. I used to submit every year until I got this one.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. Every year, or maybe I skipped 1 year lang since college or two. 10 years of pitching to Q-Cinema,
wow.
Cinemalaya.
10 years.
Yeah, 10. Baka out of 10, 7 or 8. So nagsubmit na every year. One actually got in Cine Filipino. That was supposed to be my first film. But then the pandemic ate that up, so na-cancel yun. So again, try again for Cinemalaya, and thankfully this got in. And funnily enough, I submitted two things to Cinemalaya. One I worked on for months, and really fixing the pitch and everything, and rewriting the script. And this story that I worked on for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. He told the idea to Sina Kevin when we had a writer's group thing during the pandemic, and said, it's free naman to submit more than one story, might as well give this. So ito yung nagawa.
Yan yung gitling.
Mm.
Grabe, okay.
So just keep sending. It's also naman a matter of timing and taste of the people who are judging it.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they say no doesn't mean it's bad or whatever. It's just timing and taste.
It goes back to what you're saying about failure, you know? Parang, yeah.
Sanay na eh. It's always next year. Or try again.
Ikaw, Kev?
I started, I think, with a short film na in the pandemic, and I wanted to challenge myself. Filmmaker ba talaga ako? Director ba talaga ako? Sige nga, let's try relearning my whole process and doing it all by myself. So I ended up making that short film in the pandemic at home. And I think that's what caught the eye of the film, the Cinemalaya committee. And so when I sent naman the treatment for the full length, I don't think they knew naman it was me. I was just pretty lucky that it got through. And
the committee is probably like, who's this stoner filmmaker?
Yeah.
All these weed films.
That's what this, yeah. So I ended up, like 200 plus people entered, and then we were cut down to like 30. You were very lucky to be part of the 30, and then from there it got down to 20, and then it goes to the film lab, and then from the 20 they select 10 that goes as finalists.
How long did this period start from the 20 to the 10 who make the films?
So I think from 20 to the 10.
Yeah.
That's the whole, I think, the film lab process, you know, like
2 months, 3 months
of learning from different mentors in the workshop, and then at the end you pitch to different prod houses. And I think that's where also the selection committee might be listening to the pitch,
right,
and deciding, oh, these are the finalists.
Aside from your screenplay.
Yeah, aside
so
from
I actually didn't know about that. I thought, you know, it was straightforward. So there was like a workshop, and you guys get, so there were 10 other filmmakers who didn't get to make Cinemalaya films.
Yes.
What was it like at the time? Parang reality show. It sounds like a reality show.
It's
like, who's gonna make
the Hunger Games?
A little bit. It's not gonna sound nice, but for us to win, to get the 10 slots, someone's dreams had to not come true.
Yeah.
I was ready for mine not to come true after getting it.
Remember when there was like 30, oh wow, nandito na tayo. And then shit, baka 20, baka wala na tayo. And then 20, it was like, damn, we're gonna get cut down to 50. And then nung 10 na kami, I was like, wow, we gotta believe it. Yeah.
Like a bunch of years before this, I would pitch in mm-hmm. Q-Cinema, semifinal, the top 20 or whatever, top 30. Not get in. So I know what it feels like talaga, to just get so close and not. And it sucks. But I think the advantage of this one is since the top 20 took the film lab, and they were able to pitch to like a lot of producers, I'm sure it opened some doors. Hopefully it opened some doors for them. Even if they didn't get into Cinemalaya this year, meron pa rin something.
Yeah. And I think for my film, I was like, I made it like number 10. I was the very last to like get in. I heard about that, and yeah, it was the very last.
They told you
that? No. I mean, you know,
what's it like?
Stuff.
Are they reading from like a list? And the 10th one to make that.
So I was just talking to some of the jury members, and they said, you know, there are people who fought for you to be there, wow, part of the 10, and I'm like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I don't know if this was, I'd be super happy to be picked or super scared now to actually have to make this film, because it's such a big venture to get into. But, you know, looking back now, super happy with how it turned out.
So the film lab, like, what was that like? You guys still had your jobs. You still had to pay the rent while this was going on. What was going on? Like, what was that process like?
As mentioned, I'm sure bunch had day jobs, but not all were prod people. I'm sure they had day jobs and stuff. It was hard to balance it. Like, sometimes, like, with a meeting in between, excuse yourself, muna. But if you really want to do it, again, you're going to find a way, even if you have to talk to someone while listening to another person or take notes na lang or something, gagawa ka ng paraan, because it's hard to find opportunities, especially to make a film these days. It's expensive. It's way more expensive than it was before. And getting like people to look at your stuff to give you a shot, it's hard. So you take every chance you can get. Bahala na how you do it. You just gotta do it.
Yeah, but that's so real. I remember a bunch of us had work and had to take online courses or classes. And because it was pandemic at that time, so like online stuff, and then also trying to make money doing our day job. I was at a shoot on the first day. But you could see na people really, even if it was struggle, really made the effort to show up, to learn, because they really wanted to. And I feel like, you know, the ones who made it through also, I mean, everybody, of course, wanted to naman talaga. But like what Jopie said, you kind of just have to do anything just to get. You're andito ka na eh. I mean, just keep going. And
why drop the ball now?
Okay. So I want to talk about the actual making of the film. And I think there's a lot to unpack there, but I'll save that for like another section. Siguro fast forward na as well. We're on the Cinemalaya topic. What was it like to watch like your film on the big screen and see people reacting to something you worked on for months, and you weren't sure if this joke was gonna land, if this plot point was gonna work, and then you see those in real-time reactions happening?
Well, after kasi you've been in the editing suite for like months, and then sanay ka na sa lahat ng jokes, sanay ka na sa lahat ng things, you're kind of not laughing, you kind of just want to get it out there and done. And then when the gala night came, when the screening came, and people were laughing at jokes that we had done like months ago and wasn't funny anymore to me. oh wow, they're having fun. And then mga times na kinikilig pala sila over this. So like, I did not plan this. And it's so refreshing because it feels like I am now part of the audience. You know, when we put out the film there, it felt like, you know, it's not ours anymore, it's going to be everybody else's. And it was great to have a really good reception of laughs, of people crying, and, you know, just, it kind of reminds you, oh nga pala, no, I made a film to move people because I was moved before. I made a film to make people laugh because that's what would make me laugh. I made a film, the kind of film that I want to see in the screen, you know? And it's like, wow, people end up enjoying it, because at the start you're like, I just want to make this for my small group of friends and, you know, make the people who matter to me laugh or cry. And then biglang other audiences we don't know are touched by it and enjoyed it. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, I was there in the screen, and grabe talaga yung energy sa mga like, even the jokes, even the moments, the connections between characters. Was there anything that surprised you, something that was like, ooh, I didn't think like people would react to this part or what?
I think yung kilig things, it was supposed to be some sort of misdirect, but I think our two actors, si JK and si Joribel, was just so good at it. It parang people got kind of kilig about it. So that was fun. I mean, I realize now, like, maybe the Filipino or Cinemalaya moviegoers just really love Kilig. Like, do you have any, you know?
Oh yeah, the gala night. What was that like, seeing it for the first time?
Stressful. Just running around. I watched in the back. I had a seat in front pala, but I didn't get my own ticket.
You were at the back.
The very, very back.
Oh my God.
It's the last row ako. Matay doon. It was fun. And then, sadly, I didn't get to hear it. But one of the EPs, a good friend of mine, Charlie, said people were crying all around him. So I really wish I was there to hear people cry and get hurt. Because that's the goal. Masaktan sana kayo watching this. But from the reactions of people naman, people are saying some of them sat down or didn't move yet after or watched it second time. It was the reaction I wanted. Just for people to think about their lives or a part of their lives that they have passed now or someone in their lives. It's really nice that people got what I wanted to happen. That just hits different. I loved it. I'm so happy people loved it. Yeah.
And happy for you guys, man. Grabe. I'm also curious actually about like, as a creative who's not really, I mean, typically parang we don't get to get immersed in a lot of like financial stuff and business stuff. What did you guys pick up from this whole experience about the business side of filmmaking?
It's kind of sad. I heard somebody in some FTCP talk a long time ago said you can't be a great director. To be a successful director, you also have to be a good producer. It's like, so I'm directing it and producing it. Like, I also have to know the business side of things. Which to me was great, because seeing it in the eyes of Jan, our executive producer, and Tin, the line producer, get funding and then make the money move or magpaikot ng pera just so things could happen was things that I picked up and learned na I took for granted as a creative. Na I feel like, just give me my limitations and I'll do it, you know, and just give me the things that I can do and I'll go whatever. But then also finding out how they make the money work for us was so interesting to me. And even how this whole film making as a business is a thing. Na you get funders, you get investors, and then when you get your money back, everybody gets recouped, and then maybe profits happen. Things like that was new to me. Like, I also felt like it opened up like the business side of the film for me. Parang ganun siya.
I knew nothing coming in before this. Really learning all of it. It's hard. I mean, raising the money is hard, and now we have a challenge of, I mean, for this to be sustainable, you want the people who invest in to get their money back and then some. Because otherwise, gotta be real, to make a film, you need money. Even if you say, yeah, we can make it super independent, low budget, whatever, and you totally can. But you also have to remember, if you're going to hire a crew, this is their day job. This is their livelihood. And if your goal is always to provide a good working environment for people where they can go home, make something cool, but also have enough to pay for their bills. Because that's the reality of it all. We have to accept that and try our best to work amidst all of that. So it's hard. Like, now we're going to do everything we can to make sure that it's profitable to the people who helped us, who let us do what we wanted to do without meddling, just let us have fun, make something. And now it's our part to do the business side and where can we sell it? Who's going to watch it? How do we do attack the screenings and everything? Which is still, I'm not super sanay with now, but we're going to try our best, because if I want to make again, I want to do it right with people getting paid for their talents. And so that they can keep doing what they want to keep doing. So that's still something we're learning. But I just think it's really important for every filmmaker to accept the kind of a hard, ugly side of it. Pero kailangan. It's the reality we live in.
What stage are you guys in now? So tapos na yung Cinemalaya. Are you guys more thinking about distribution, about different screenings? Like, yeah, what lies ahead in the next few months?
We're in a festival run. That's what they call it. You know, parang a whole year of trying to submit to the different festivals around the world, try to get in, and then when we go to those festivals around the world, we try to sell them in the markets. If they want to buy the rights to show it in theaters there, in different regions, and then, yeah, I think that's the phase that we are in at the moment. Well, ikaw,
same. We're submitting to film festivals now. There's a list of film festivals that we can still sign and reach this year, early next year. And from there, we're also looking into where do we screen it? Do we go theatrical? How do you go up against the big-ass movies? Or do we do it school by school? Really just grassroots to get the money back? Because that's also a possibility. Just, of course, more difficult because you have to be the one to engage with every venue. And eventually, you sell it to like a streamer. So that's what we're exploring now. We're seeing also what market, like, do we still benta na ba ka agad? Or just film festival and benta ka agad? Or film festival and try to look for a specific market first in the Philippines or abroad even, gain from that before you start trying to attempt to sell to a streamer or something. So that's where we're at.
I heard before that the first half of the battle of making a film is making the film, and the second half is marketing. Mm-hmm. Marketing it and selling it.
That's the second half. Yeah. RDOP. It's getting people to see it.
Yeah. I have a group chat because RDOP is also a producer. It's me, Michael David, and Casey Katrina have a group chat, and we're so tired. We're sinablahan all of a sudden, kaya natin to. And Michael's like, guys, wala pa tayo sa halfway ng battle, ha? But, malayo pa tayo.
We just started. I thought it's all over.
This is kind of like, I guess, part of your marketing. I mean,
yeah,
you're in a
is.
Podcast.
Yeah, it is. Happy to be here. The top guys watch our films.
Shout out to again eventually.
I remember nga Martika's film, yung Leonor Will Never Die. They had like a unique screening approach to putting out their films. Like they would offer it to people who want to buy out cinemas and screen the films. Parang, yeah, kakaiba din yun, no? Like people became fans of the movie in a different way.
Yeah, she definitely has this cult following. And parang I think they would lose out kasi, well, films in general would lose out on trying to do a theatrical run kasi sa Pilipinas, kasi not a lot of people go to the movies anymore. Well, now my Barbenheimer pati Sinimalaya, diba? So that helped a lot. But even so, I think people would prefer streamers. I still love the movie experience. Pero parang yun, it challenges us to figure out how do we make it enticing for viewers to actually come instead of like the regular theatrical run. Do we show it in like special screenings na may event? Do we like a roadshow or like in different schools? Or my gimmick ba under the stars ba yung showing natin?
Yeah, stuff like that would help. Like, my dream, although I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it, is have it live scored. Show it and then live scoring while doing the whole thing because the score is wonderful. So, do we get an orchestra in charge?
Yeah.
Aside from, of course, having a cinematic experience, can you turn it into an actual experience for people to push it? That also complements malamang watching it with a crowd that maybe may draw people in. Because, you can do the normal stuff and that will actually help in work. But if you can find ways to make it more interesting for non-moviegoers or other people to come, then you gotta do everything you can to make it happen.
We're gonna have a special Shroom screening. This is
I love that! Yeah.
You guys are all welcome to join. We're all gonna trip and watch the
Shrooms at the entrance. Yeah, and you should definitely put out the Let Lenny Weed strain.
Yes, that was improvised. That was
Chico.
Si Chico went off script in the table read, and the whole table went wild.
Oh my god! The theater went wild then when he said it.
Best joke of Cinemalaya 2023, claiming it. Sorry, nice one, Chico.
Let Lenny Weed. So it's that conventional wisdom from what you've been hearing with other filmmakers nga, in this parang climate of putting out movies na mag-festival run muna just to gain momentum. Kasi parang parang kayong indie band with an album, and you're trying to get people to go to your gigs and watch your product, right?
I mean, is that a whole Filipino thing that we have to get big outside first before we get big here?
It's been coming up in the podcast too. It's like this, especially for, I had Ray Batadero last time, he was an actor, and it's like, I mean, as sad as it is, parang we need validation from other countries to say, uy, look, I mean, look at Dolly De Leon.
Yeah.
Diba? It took, how many decades of her in the industry here to be recognized here, but because of working from in abroad, the Triangle of Sadness.
The first time you manalo sa Pilipinas, and ganito pala yung feeling ang sarap. But wow, man, you had to go through the Oscars,
yeah,
to get to here.
Yeah.
Martika, she Sundance.
Went around the world before she.
Yeah, before she screened it. I don't know if she's won awards here yet, pero parang everywhere else, diba? Sundance palang.
Just getting into Sundance.
Just getting into Sundance. Deal. We actually have an award-winning Sundance filmmaker. It's amazing.
Yeah, so is that is that what you've been getting from the other filmmakers na, okay, you know, if you want to get some traction, send it abroad muna.
Sana. Depends on your route. Some kasi, I know some want to do film festival. Some are cool na yata just trying to go big to a streamer or something. I think also depends on what your goals are for the film.
Yeah.
I think, and I may be horrendously incorrect, sometimes I think some streamers like it na it hasn't, it's exclusive to them or premieres with them.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything bad about the streamers because we're still selling it to them. I don't know how they work yet.
Not how they work, but yeah. But I think, yeah, you just have to balance out which route you want to go with. Because like film festivals, they will prioritize world premieres or international premieres over something that's permitted in other festivals. I think that from what I'm reading, from the guidelines, that's their preference. I assume streamers also work the same way na. It'll be different if it premieres in this place as opposed to like theatrical run kind of elsewhere. So I think it's a balance of what your goal is with your film.
And some people are just happy to be in Cinemalaya. Some people, their goal is to be there and it's there and they've achieved it. And I mean, it's going to be shown in different regional cinemas na naman with FTCP.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Okay, so I don't want to get too greedy with my questions because I have a lot and we can talk after. But we did get some audience questions, so I put it on the KC pages. Yesterday, people sent some questions, and maybe we can have this part of the podcast about more specific stuff about your film. No? All the people who saw it, may mga curious stuff. But I think, okay, before we do that, one more from me is just like what do you guys what changed as two directors before Cinemalaya and now, like what nag parang fork ba yung path niyo as you know people doing this? And then Jopi, CD, ikaw diba may director din for ads, what paths have opened up and I guess what do you want to follow, you know, where do you want to take it?
Less of a path, more of a slightly less imposter syndrome. Oh my god, while making this whole thing, I was like, who the hell am I making all of this? Or leading such a talented cast and crew. I was like, a lot of times showing set, I was like, shit, why? How am I here? I'm just happy to be here. Even up until awards night, when I was in the back room and I was watching all these, the film community in itself there in the back, behind the stage, behind the scenes, behind the stage and shit. And I was like, I know a number of these people by name, but again, I have no idea. No one knows me here and stuff, so do I even deserve to be here? But after at least, after the reception of people, I'd like to think, hey, I can direct. So I'm slightly better feeling about trying to pursue this whole thing.
Yeah. Me, the whole process, I hated writing, but when we got to the shooting and editing part, the whole process was so enriching to me. It was like one of my favorite or best life experiences. Because the whole time we were shooting, everybody was asking, shoot ba talaga to? Kasi ang fun. As in, and I was like, lahat parang shoot ganito? Kasi dapat, I wish, if it was, diba, we'd always be shooting films. And sadly, some people said, no, it's not like that. But parang, you know, we were in that sort of high na we were all having a great time. And for me, as a person who's been trying different things as a creative, finding my process, finding what I'm really into, it felt so, it felt like I finally found a place where I thrive, where I feel like I am at my best with people who I'm also pushing to be their best. And we're all just having this great time here. And so I had the commercial TV commercial after shooting this film, and coming into the commercial set, I felt so much more confidence in my choices. so much more responsibility on what actually comes into screen. Like, ah, pwede ko pa pala palitan yung colors ng table or things like that. Like, what actually comes on screen, you start to feel like you own it. You feel like, you know, it's your responsibility to make. So, parang yun, I feel like the confidence of being able to call myself a filmmaker was there. Same with Jopie, I had this whole imposter syndrome. And now that it's out, not naman that I feel like the best or like super cocky. It's just like, wow, I can look back and say na this was a milestone for me.
Ganda, guys. Yeah, I mean, definitely deserve niya. I mean, really great films. I personally enjoyed both your films. So please keep making. And on that topic, are you guys like on the hunt for stories? Like, is that where are you in that mode now, or are you still kind of like in a promotion mode, or may mga baon na ba kayo? Uy, I want to tell this story down the line.
I'm just about to buy Zelda.
Oh man, I've been on that for like months, man. I'm deep into that.
Me taking like a 2 week break, and then I have four. I have to pick one to develop for the next few, whatever. Yeah, there's a bunch that I bowl na ako ng stories. And then there's one that I really want to make that will take years and years. It's super difficult. So, of course, I'll choose the hardest one to make next sana. So, meron naman.
Yeah. Me, I'm definitely gonna take a break, but when I come back into making films, I want to be able to take my time. And actually, I felt like script writing was the hardest part, so I really want to improve my script writing skills or my development storytelling skills on the script. So take my time making a film this time instead of a festival film na mabilis. And maybe try to get it big with grants abroad, stuff like that. I eventually want to make a series, like some Netflix or Amazon series. Hello.
Ako na rin, sama na ako dyan.
But yeah, I mean, I am feeling like I'm waiting for the stories that stick, the stories that I still remember, and maybe those are the good ideas that we should be developing instead of getting bored with after a while.
So that was it. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Please remember that we really love it when you guys engage with the content and social media. Feel free to tag us in your stories and share anything you've learned about these episodes. We super appreciate it when you guys do that. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Kwentong Creatives and on TikTok at kcreatives.gl.
It isn't there.
No.